Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
From the most trusted journalists at Comedy Central, it's America's only source for news. This is The Daily Show with your hosts, Jordan Klepper and Ronnie James.
Clipper.
And I'm Roy Chang. We got so much to talk about tonight. College campuses are protesting. Donald Trump's enemies are surrendering. And the Supreme Court wonders if the president can kill you for fun.
But first, Donald Trump is still on trial. So let's catch up with another installment of America's Most Tremendously Wanted.
The whole thing is a scam.
Today was a big day for Donald Trump versus Johnny Law, with the former president fighting the man at every level of the legal system.
But things actually started off pretty good for Trump. After months of calling him unfit for office, Trump's former attorney general, Bill Barr, said he's voting for him anyway. And Trump responded with as much grace as you would expect.
So the former president posting on Truth Social this, quote, "Wow, former Attorney General Bill Barr has just endorsed me for president, despite the fact that I called him weak, slow-moving, lethargic, gutless, and lazy. Based on the fact that I greatly appreciate his wholehearted endorsement, I am removing the word lethargic from my statement. Thank you, Bill."
Donald Trump is the king of pettiness. I am positive in an alt universe, Trump was a sorority president, just dripping, dripping with shade. Like, "Wow, Bill, I love that bikini. You're so brave to be wearing that. You go, girl."
I mean, it does look like Trump hates Trump ass kisses as much as the rest of us do. Because he'll be like, "Kiss the ring." And then when they do, he's like, "I can't believe you kissed the ring, you little bitch."
So Trump was riding that sick burn high this morning all the way into court, where he was confronted with testimony from the head of the National Enquirer, who wasn't afraid to spill some tea.
Publisher David Pecker returned to the witness stand this morning and explained how he engineered a deal to buy the silence of Karen McDougal, a Playboy model who claims she had an affair with Trump. Pecker claims he had a deal with Trump and his attorney, Michael Cohen, to be on the lookout for damaging stories about Trump.
He would buy stories that were unflattering to Trump, and then he would kill them to make sure they didn't become public. Was today a bad day for Donald Trump?
I can't read his mind, but he looked pretty miserable.
Oh, really? He looked miserable. He's not one of those jovial criminal defendants. Yeah. Coming to court with a smile on his face and a spring in his step as he stares down a future full of prison gangs, public pooping, and shoddy heroin balloons migrating up his colon. Shocker. Yeah.
But yes, David Pecker, pun intended, testified that he brought up and buried negative stories about Donald Trump that helped him win the 2016 election, which sounds crazy, but you gotta remember, this was way back in 2016 when negative stories were a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Now we know that every new scandal just cancels out a different scandal until you become president. But because this is Donald Trump, he wasn't involved in just one court case today. While he was in New York, his lawyers were in front of the Supreme Court arguing that Trump should have complete legal immunity for anything he did while president. And I do mean complete immunity.
If the president decides that his rival is a corrupt person and he orders the military or orders someone to assassinate him, is that within his official acts that for which he can get immunity?
It would depend on the hypothetical, but we can see that could well be an official act.
I object to this guy's voice. Can we, someone get him a lozenge or something? But I mean, but sorry, you may continue.
How about if a president orders the military to stage a coup?
I think it would depend.
That's immune.
I think it would depend on the circumstances, whether it was an official act. If it were an official act.
If a president sells nuclear secrets to a foreign adversary, is that immune?
Well, I don't know in the hypothetical whether or not that would be an official act.
Okay, look. Can we stop giving Trump ideas, okay? Yeah, he's listening to this like, oh, selling nuclear secrets? I should write this down.
Yeah. It sounded like they were loose pitching Netflix action thrillers in the room. Like, in order to save his nation, the president must strangle an opponent in a public death match. Liam Neeson is immune from prosecution. Now.
That was very good.
Now, the Trump legal team doesn't really believe the total immunity argument. They're just bringing it up to delay his trials. It's kind of like when your kid asks for water at bedtime, and you know they're just trying to delay bedtime because kids don't need water.
Wait, I'm pretty sure kids do need water.
No, you're thinking of plants. The wild thing is that the court's conservative majority seems like it's actually going to accept at least part of Trump's argument.
By the end of the hearing, the conservative majority seemed to express a desire to create some kind of limited immunity for official acts for presidents.
So, this is where we're at. The conservative justices think Trump should have immunity. The liberal justices don't. How about we meet halfway? Instead of complete immunity, presidents get a hall pass of 5 crimes that are totally okay if you have the chance. For example, mine would be bribery, insurrection, wire fraud, perjury, and Lenny Kravitz. Money laundering. I mean, money laundering. I got my hall passes mixed up.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of crazy. The Supreme Court might actually make the president immune from the law. I mean, isn't this America's whole thing? It's no kings. I mean, that's why those people threw the tea in the river. I mean, what a waste. They could have kept all that tea.
Yeah, that's my main concern as well, Ronnie. But with all this, there is still a presidential race going on. So, this morning, Donald Trump made a campaign stop on his way into court. And Fox News was there to drink it up.
Breaking this morning, former President Donald Trump making a surprise campaign stop in the last hour at a construction site in Midtown.
He's taking his time with everyone, talking to people, shaking hands, taking selfies. Look at him with this man with the hard hat, taking a picture, thanking him for being there, patting his back. He grew up in New York, grew up in construction on these sites, and now he's talking to the men and women that build New York, that build all these buildings. He knows a lot about that. He's one of them.
Right.
He was clearly excited to be on a construction site. Shake a few hands, pat a few backs, show them some advanced catcalling techniques, you know, the whole nine.
And those construction workers appeared to really love Trump. Mm-hmm. Either that or they showed up with all their unpaid invoices. Hey, can I get your autograph on this? Yeah, can you initial here and here, please? It's been years now.
For more on Donald Trump's day in the courts and on the campaign trail, we go down to the New York courthouse and Michael Costa. You were with Trump this morning at his campaign stop, right?
Yep. And once again, Trump proved that he is a man of the people. Blue-collar workers, union guys. Donald J. Trump is one of them. You know, clearly the J stands for Joe, as in Joe Sixpack, Average Joe, or Jolene because of the adultery.
Right. He's an everyman, a regular person. And what did Trump's lawyers argue at the Supreme Court today?
Their argument is quite simple, Ronnie. Donald Trump is not a regular person. He's not some blue-collar worker or a union guy. Donald J. Trump is an untouchable, godlike entity who lives above the law, right? Clearly, the J stands for judicially immune from all prosecution forever and all time. Amen.
But Michael, how does he square those two? That sounds totally contradictory.
No. Not at all. Donnie Trump is a guy you can imagine having a beer with. He's also the guy who can murder the guy he's having a beer with. Because the law doesn't apply to him. Jordan, he's like J-Lo. Don't be fooled by the total immunity he's got. He's still Donnie from the block. Also, he's got a great ass.
Okay. Michael, how is he at all relatable to these construction guys?
Easy, Ronnie. Trump speaks the language of the common man. Hey, I'm walking here on my way to overthrow the government here. And it's legal what I'm doing under the auspices of an official act. Hey, pepperoni.
All right, so Trump is a regular guy.
No better than any of us.
Who is totally above the law.
Better than any of us. And it's probably hard for caviar slurping elitists like yourselves to understand, but Trump is a lot like these construction workers. Think of him as having a hard hat that protects him from any U.S. law and some safety goggles that shield him from seeing any jail time and of course, a trusty pair of work boots.
Oh, wait, let me guess. The work boots let him trample the Constitution.
No, the lift they provide highlights Donald J. Trump's great ass, right? Clearly, the J stands for juicy caboosey.
Okay, well, I'm Michael Costa, everyone. When we come back, we'll talk about the latest college trend.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
College, the place you go to learn and to meet the love of your life until they get their tenure taken away for having sex with a student. But in recent weeks, colleges across the country have become the site of mass protests against Israel's war in Gaza. Now, this presents a challenge for the colleges. Loud and even disruptive protests are a cherished tradition on campuses, and college investments in Israel are a legitimate issue for students. But at the same time, there's a real element of anti-Semitism among some protests, and Jewish students have the right to feel safe at their own schools. So, it's a delicate balance that requires keeping a cool head and listening respectfully. And above all, the colleges should not escalate the tension.
Columbia University's president asked the NYPD to break up a tent encampment.
150 protesters were arrested at NYU in a demonstration. The university says it asked the police to intervene.
Okay. Just to be clear, I said de-escalate. De-escalate.
Chaos on the campus of USC as pro-Palestinian protesters clash with school security and police. LA police officers in riot gear move in, and there are a number of confrontations as the police force encircles the center of campus.
Okay, does de-escalate not mean what I think it means? Un-escalate, reverse escalate. At least don't make it worse.
Officers were sent in at the request of the university and under the direction of Governor Greg Abbott.
Abbott posted a social media quote, "The protesters belong in jail."
Send in the National Guard and wake these kids up.
Do these f***ers ever think of a solution besides force? I mean, when this guy's Wi-Fi goes down, is he like, "Get the National Guard in here. We need to f*** up my modem." By the way, that man is Senator Josh Hawley. You might remember him as the man who riled up a mob on January 6th and then ran like a bitch once they showed up. Personally, I might think twice the next time I endorsed violence, but that's just me.
Yeah, and also, Jordan, you don't use the National Guard because students are camping on the quad. You use them for when aliens invade and you want to test the aliens' weapon capabilities. You know, you're like, how strong are their lasers? Send in the National Guard to find out.
Also, you're not going to resolve tension by adding violence. I'm spitballing here. Maybe instead of armed soldiers, why not try sending in the college improv troupe, you know? A group of communication majors in bright colored shirts asking for a suggestion should clear out a crowd in no time.
No, Jordan, everybody knows that our college improv makes everything worse, okay? And as will right-wing politicians showing up on campus to yell at the students.
House Speaker Mike Johnson visiting the Columbia campus today.
The cherished traditions of this university are being overtaken right now by radical and extreme ideologies. I am here today joining my colleagues and calling on President Shafiq to resign if she cannot immediately bring order to this chaos. Go back to class and stop the nonsense. Stop wasting your parents' money.
Yes. Stop wasting your parents' money. Be like Mike Johnson, get into government and waste everyone's money. And by the way, Mike, if your problem is with anti-Semitism, I completely agree with you that it's completely unacceptable. But maybe start with your coworker who believes in Jewish space lasers. I mean, just saying.
I will say, it's quite a flip-flop for Republicans to be telling New York college kids to go back to their woke ideology classes. You shouldn't be intense. You should be studying essays on pornography by radical feminist Andrea Dworkin. Honestly, I can't think of anybody worse to give their opinions on how to protest the war in Gaza. Well, there is one guy.
What's happening on America's college campuses is a rip. Anti-Semitic mobs have taken over in leading universities. It's unconscionable. It has to be stopped.
Oh, thanks for taking the time to give your feedback, Benjamin Netanyahu. Is there nothing else going on with you?
Yeah. I know. This guy's like, the situation in U.S. college campuses is unacceptable. Do you see how the buildings are not rubble? I am disgusted.
Here's the point. There's a lot of noise and plenty of bad actors. But fundamentally, what's driving these protests is anger over Israel's disproportionate use of force. So, before we respond to the protests with disproportionate force, maybe we should listen to what they have to say. And then, if we still don't agree with the students, then we can send in the college improv troupe. When we come back, Kyle Chayka will be joining us on the show.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
The New Yorker, whose latest book is called Filter Wars, How Algorithms Flatten Culture. Please welcome Kyle Shaker.
Kyle, I like this book. I'll tell you why. I've been in grumpy asshole about culture for years now, and this book validates so many of the things I've been telling other people. Tell me, how am I right? How do algorithms flatten culture?
Yeah, how has everything gotten worse in the past decade or something? I like seeing the sticky notes, by the way.
Oh, exactly,
I feel like this is a demonstration.
I'm going to grill you on all this shit.
Please, it's like a quiz for me. But yeah, I think we're surrounded by these machines right now, which are algorithmic recommendations. And everything from your email to your Facebook feed to your text messages to a TikTok video, it's all sorted for you. So I think that kind of affects culture in two ways. Where as consumers, we become more passive. We're like more accustomed to just getting stuff handed to us that already agrees with our viewpoint and like our tastes. And then on the other side, the creators of culture kind of have to mold their work to fit these algorithmic platforms. So they have to figure out what works on Instagram, what works on TikTok, and then like adapt their work to that rather than just doing what they might want to do on their own.
You mentioned here, which I think is a good example of it, and part of what you ruminate on is this generic coffee shop. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it was this kind of coffee shop design that I started encountering just traveling around as a journalist, probably around 2015, 2016. And I think everyone can recognize it, especially in New York, if you've been to almost any cafe around here. There's white subway tile on the wall. There's reclaimed wood furniture. There's hanging Edison bulbs with those like exposed wires. Mm-hmm. There's succulents in little ceramic jars.
There's a giant neon sign that says, I love coffee.
Absolutely, yeah, like avocado toast and script or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason why you find those everywhere, like whether you're in Beijing or Berlin or Los Angeles or Bali or wherever you go, is because our tastes have kind of been homogenized by platforms like Instagram. So there's like a particular aesthetic that works for Instagram, and everyone puts it out there, and then everyone else on the platform slowly copies that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true for a coffee shop owner, which I interviewed a bunch of for the book, but it's also true of musicians or a chef making a kind of food that looks good on Instagram, mm-hmm. or a producer making a beat for TikTok. So I think we're all kind of getting funneled into these weird tracks that are set.
And when I visit coffee shops like that overseas or around America, I feel at home. Yeah. I love those places. It's the best. It's familiar. It's familiar to me.
No, it's true.
But the point is, like, I hate social media as much as anybody. Everyone can testify to this. I hate social media.
I testify.
This is it. But when we're talking about algorithms pushing taste, I mean,
just to be devil's advocate a little bit, like, we've had aesthetics become popular before computers existed. Totally. So how much of this is algorithms, and how much of it is just humans kind of having this, the meta game of human art aesthetics, kind of finding a balance to what everyone kind of likes?
We're always chasing each other, right? Like, culture is a process of copying stuff and finding a style that works in the mainstream. But I think now we're just really in these funnels that are directing us in like a bigger and faster way toward each other. Like, we're all being shoved into these set tracks much more than we were
before. But I guess what I'm saying, how much of this is algorithms' fault, and how much of this is we are just humans of... Humans are bad.
That's, I think it's like...
humans are bad and dumb, and we have bad taste, and eventually the machines... They copy us.
I think it's the humans have bad habits. Yeah. Like, we want to be passive. We want to be lazy. We don't want to get too far out of our comfort zones. And these algorithmic platforms make it so easy to not do that. Like, we don't have to go. We don't have to see things we don't like. We don't have to listen to music that's unusual for us. Mm-hmm. So I think it, like, enables those innate tendencies. And that makes us more boring. It, like, makes us more boring consumers. It makes culture kind of more generic overall. Sure. And I worry that we, like, can't get out of that laziness. Like, we can't get out of that habit that we're in because of the platforms.
I think a lot about, like, our taste is part of how we define who we are, how we interact with the world, right? And I think, for me, the stuff that I have grown to fall in love with, you find it before the internet. I'm that old. but, like, I fell in love, like, the cool high school friend who recommends you Liquid Swords, and you have a long commute to school, and so you play it, and you sit with it, and it becomes interesting and part of your identity, and you find it, like, you sort of have to meet a moment with a part of taste to find it and for it to actually stick to you. And what I worry about with algorithms, like, are we executing serendipity?
Yeah, I think so, in a way, because everything is pre-sorted to appeal to us. Mm-hmm. Like, you are not seeing something that's totally outside of your frame of reference. So in that case, when your friend in high school recommends an album to you, there's this, like, passion to that. There's, like, a creativity to that. They really enjoy it, so they want to give it to you. And you're more likely to sit with it and give it some patience and try to understand what they meant by giving it to you. Whereas when an algorithmic feed gives you something, there's no feeling there. Like, there's no creativity, there's no enjoyment of that piece of culture. It's just that enough data suggested to a sorting machine that you would like this bit of stuff. And, like, that is kind of depressing to me as someone who enjoys, like, art and music.
Your data likes this. Have more.
Yeah.
Eat.
Yeah.
Sup. Sup at the bistro lights. Look at the bistro lights.
Sure. You guys are both Brooklyn hipsters. Yeah, again, okay? You want some human to come and tell you what's good. What about the situations when we go on Instagram or insert social media, whatever, and then they recommend something to buy, like a piece of clothing let's not go into what I buy, but like, I was running my head through all the stuff I could say on TV, but they recommend something and you go, I hate to admit it, but the algorithm got me.
Yeah, judge you accurately.
Sometimes I tell my wife, the algorithm got me, I bought this thing, I you know, whatever, it's chewing gum that comes from a tree in Greece or whatever it was, like, but, and I actually enjoy it. So, like, you know, we're arguing against algorithms here, but how much of this is, you know, beneficial?
Yeah, not everybody has a cool high school friend. Most people have a shitty one that maybe should be replaced by an okay by algorithm.
No, I feel like sometimes the algorithms judge us too well. Like, they know exactly what we're going to look at. They know what niche products we're going to want to buy, like the resin gum or like weird natural wine.
Oh, you getting that too?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. No, we all have those things that are like, oh, the algorithm says that I must like this, therefore I like it. And so I think it just, like, guides us towards those things. And we feel an anxiety from being perceived too well, in a way. It's like, oh, no, the machine knows me.
Right.
And I think that inspires bad feelings as well. Like, in the book, I write about algorithmic anxiety, which was this academic term for basically the lack of power and agency you have in relation to the algorithm. You don't know how it works. You don't know why you're getting recommended resin gum from Greece.
Right.
You just know that it's like, you have been evaluated and this is directed at you.
But now I know that we actually might be friends because we both get the same ad for the Greek gum thing. You don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, what are the cool kids?
What weird perverted stuff do you buy that he buys? That's what I want to know. So they say if politics is downstream from culture, mm-hmm. and we all are moving into this flattened culture, what does this mean? From 30,000 foot view to what it does to our politics.
Yeah, I think it affects everything. Yeah. Like, it affects culture, it affects geography, cities, also politics. And in culture, algorithms kind of funnel everyone toward a generic average where there's just this, like, style that works for everyone. But I think it's slightly different in politics. Like, it's sorting people into these very extreme groups that are very far from each other. Mm-hmm. So, like, in the U.S., maybe there's two big buckets. Like, you are either a Democrat or a Republican, and there is one way to be those things. Mm-hmm. There's no internal diversity. It's hard to have different opinions at the same time. It's just like you've been sorted into this bucket or this bucket, mm-hmm. and then you've experienced a lot of pressure to stay in there.
So how come algorithms are flattening the culture when it's bad for us, meaning everyone's seeing the same thing? But when it comes to politics, when maybe it would be better if we could grow in the same direction, it's making us more divided. Yeah. Why is the algorithm doing the worst possible things?
It's totally true. It's like opposing forces in a way. I mean, I think culture is like a thing that many people experience collectively. Like, it's a thing that we can all enjoy together in a way.
Sometimes.
Whereas, and in like a Taylor Swift context, everyone can like Taylor Swift.
Yes.
So if there's a
and
Taylor Swift.
And we do.
And we do. To be clear,
just to
Taylor
be clear,
Swift is great.
Very clear. Yes.
So if we could find the Taylor Swift for politics, that would be amazing. But I think something...
I think it's Taylor Swift.
There we go. Okay, we've figured it out. The algorithmic solution to politics is Taylor Swift. But yeah, I mean, maybe it's just that there can be no one solution to such opposing viewpoints.
Not even computers can figure it out.
Until we have the president that is the algorithm, unfortunately.
Right.
How old is that algorithm?
Yes. Well, none of them are that old. This has only been a decade
or
two.
You know what? It sounds like a decent option that a lot of people could get behind. Filter World is available now. Kyle, Jacob. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, that's our show for tonight.
There it is. Your moment is then.
We're trying to find out who is behind this because it's eerily, they all have the same tent.
Why do they have all of them the same green tents?
The colorfulness of them, and they all match.
Guaranteed mommy and daddy bought it for them or some dark money organizations because they all seem to match, don't they?
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show, wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.